Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Tetvav of Malachim Bet. The subject of the beginning of Perek Tetvav is a king we were introduced to briefly at the end of last Perek, Azariah, the son of Amatiah. Many believe he took over for his father when his father was still alive, after being captured by the Melech Yisrael. In Pasuk Gimel, once again, we have the introduction that he followed in the ways of Hashem. Kechol asher asa Amatiah aviv. It seems his only fault is not removing Bamot. The only other piece of information told to us in this perek is that he was smitten with tzara'at and remained afflicted until the day he died. His son Yotam took over for him as king when his career came to an abrupt end. We are not clued into why he was afflicted or even any information about his military accomplishments, aside from the conquest of Eilat that was mentioned briefly in last perek. 7 psukim are reserved for the career of Azariah. For the rest, we turn to Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Chavav, where there are a lot of pieces of information included. The first thing one notices when opening up Divrei Hayamim Bet is that there is no king referred to as Azariah. The king, son of Amatiah, is Uziah. It is clear, though, that it is the same person. We are told he sought out the word of Hashem and was successful when doing so. His military conquests are described in a lot of detail. He fought the Plishtim and built up many of their cities. We're told the Ammonim brought him tributes. His fame reached Egypt. Within Yerushalayim, he also built structures, including towers for protection, especially needed after what happened to the walls of Yerushalayim during his father's rule. We're told he loved the Adama and built Migdalim and Borot, cisterns, in the desert for animals and also for the farmers and vintners. He also had an organized army with many officers, with shields, spears, helmets, bows, and slingstones. He set up missile devices on the towers in Yerushalayim to shoot from. With all his military conquests, he was able to control the major highways between Egypt in the south and Mesopotamia in the north by Nahar Prat. These are called Derech Hayam and Derech HaMelech. This brought enormous influence with it. All in all, very impressive. But in Pasuk Tet Zayin of Divrei Hayamim, things change. Ugechezkato gavali bo ad lahashchit, vayim al bahashem elokav, vayavo el hechal hashem lahaktir al mizbeach haktoret. When his heart became haughty, to the point of lahashchit, to destroy him, he did the unthinkable. He entered into the Mikdash and offered the Ketoret, which is exclusive to the Kohanim. Azariah, the Kohen Gadol, and 80 Kohanim stood there, trying to force him to leave the Mikdash, since he overstepped. The Pasuk tells us Uziah got very angry and refused until Tzara'at began actually forming on his forehead. At that point, he leaves and is not able to return to the Beit HaMikdash again. His son Yotam takes over his duties from that point on. The last pasuk in the perek in Divrei Hayamim says that the rest of the information on Uziah is written in Sefer Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu became Navi during the reign of Uziah. Perek Vav, the perek that contains the first prophecy of Yeshayahu, begins Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, the year in which Uziah died. Although the pshat is indicating that Yeshayahu was only Navi during the last year of Uziah's life, the Midrash understands the words Bishnat Mot to mean the year he was afflicted with Tzara'at, since one with Tzara'at is considered as if he were dead on some level. And that actually Yeshayahu's first vision was of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash warning Uziah about his transgression. The smoke seen in the Heichal represents the anger of Hashem for this serious transgression, and an actual trembling or shaking took place as a result in the Beit HaMikdash. This earthquake, a ra'ash, is referenced during this time by several Nevi'im, including Amos and Zechariah. Uziah felt that he could assume the role as king and Kohen too, similar to Korach. Korach's men also brought a legal ketoret. And just as the ground opened up to swallow Korach, there was a shaking, a ra'ash, at the time of Uziah's overstepping. It's clear Uziah's actions were not motivated by religious aspirations, but as a means of overstepping. What is clear from the story is that Uziah's actions were extreme and very problematic. The reason he is called Uzziah, both in Divrei HaYamim and in Sefer Yeshayahu, is to distinguish him from the Kohen Gadol with whom he shared a name. Once he behaves problematically, there was a need to differentiate him from the Tzaddik, the Kohen Gadol. Azut Metzach is one of the Al Chetz, where we pound our chest, part of Vidui on Yom Kippur. Brazenness of the forehead, the part of our face that sticks out. His tzara'at started forming specifically on that part of his body and shows how he overstepped and acted brazenly. His name Uzziah comes from this root. The name Azariah, on the other hand, means Hashem helps. When he first started out, he exemplified this worldview and Hashem allowed him continued success. However, once he let arrogance and haughtiness take control, he became known as Uzziah based on his bold move, from the word Oz or Oz, meaning strength and boldness. He dared to do something no one had done before. Uzziah's actions are similar to those of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's sons, who died after bringing their korban. In our case, Uzziah just gets tzara'at and is not killed. We can see how his punishment fits the crime. A classic example of Mida Keneged Mida. He thought so highly of himself, so the tzara'at came and put him in his place and brought him down to a dishonorable place. Tzara'at puts one at the mercy of the Kohen. The thing that Uzziah refused to do at the time of his transgression is what he needs to do at the time of his punishment. The punishment of tzara'at is not a physical affliction, but is considered a sign from Hashem. It serves as punishment and a method of rebuke simultaneously. In the cases of tzara'at in the Torah, we see them stemming from haughtiness and gaava. For example, when Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe, her brother, it was because she thought of herself on the same level as Moshe. When someone speaks Lashon Hara about another, it comes from a place of looking down on them and thinking they are better than the person they are speaking about. When all of Uzziah's accomplishments were described in Divrei HaYamim, it referred to him as an Ohev Adama. While on a basic level this is taken to be something positive, Chazal in Breishit Rabbah sensed something negative being conveyed. Uzziah is linked with two other figures in Tanakh that are also referred to by this term of being an Ohev Adama, Cain and Noach. Both Cain and Noach were censored for their attachment to the earth. Cain brought the lesser quality korban from the Adama than his brother Hevel. After he kills Hevel, Hevel's blood calls out to Hashem from the Adama itself. And Cain's relationship with the Adama is severed and he becomes a wanderer in the land. Noach too becomes an Ish Adama after the flood, plants a vineyard and becomes drunk. After surviving the Mabul, he assumes a certain level of misplaced arrogance and did not use his harrowing experience to connect with the spiritual. When in our perek Uzziah conquered and built up the land, it gave him the illusion that he was the one causing all his success. The Midrash Tanchuma says Uzziah was busy involving himself in the land, as opposed to creating a bond through Torah study. The Midrash relays that one day he walked into the Beit Midrash and asked what they were learning. They were learning the Pasuk in Vayikra of Hazar HaKarev Yumat, that no one other than the Kohanim can enter the Mikdash to serve. Uzziah said, Hashem is a melech, and I am a melech. It is most appropriate for one king to come serve the other king with ketoret. And that is what immediately motivates him to go into the Mikdash and do what he did. He came to this faulty conclusion due to spending too much of his focus on the land and not enough on studying Torah. Others understand that he tried to control the earth as opposed to contributing to its settlement. All three of these lovers of land actually sought honor. Cain and Hevel fought over who would control the earth. Noach, after the Mabul, let the fact that he was spared go to his head and assumed too much power, which is how his story connects to that of the Dor HaFlaga, who came after him in the Torah. And Uzziah wasn't satisfied with the successes he already had and wanted the kahuna, which he couldn't have. When people become too beholden to the land, it seems to be at the expense of spiritual development. Yeshayahu's first prophecy in Perek Vav of Sefer Yeshayahu wasn't only directed at Uzziah's personal transgression. It was directed at the entire nation that needed to learn the lesson of haughtiness and too much dependence on the mundane. They too needed to be reminded not to be overly confident and secure in themselves, not to overstep boundaries, and to recognize the need to change if they wanted to be saved from impending galut. Aside from all that was happening in Malchut Yehuda, much of Perek Tedvav is dedicated to several of the kings in Malchut Yisrael who rule one after the other. There is one political assassination after another, creating instability, while Ashur rises to power and begins taking waves of Jews to Galut. Yeravam's son Zechariah is killed after only 6 months as king. He was the last king in Yehu's line that had been promised to him. Shalum ben Yavesh assassinates Zechariah and is granted a whole month of rule before he too is assassinated. Menachem ben Gadi rules for 10 years, followed by Pekachya, his son. Pekach ben Ramalia rules the longest, for 20 years, and is then assassinated by the final Melech Yisrael, Hoshea ben Ela. It is during Hoshea's time that the Ten Shvatim are exiled by Ashur. While his prophecies are not mentioned in Sefer Melachim, the Nevuot of Amos were addressed to the northern kingdom during this time and focused on the tremendous affluence and indulgence of many, coupled with their indifference towards their fellow Jews who were needy. They did not direct their wealth properly, became obsessed with materialism, and were extremely complacent in their spiritual lives. Back to Perek Tedvav, starting with Pasuk Lamed Bet, it also describes Yotam's rule from the time he takes over for his father Uzziah after his tzara'at. It is fascinating that he is called Yotam ben Uzziah, which is not the name his father was referred to in the beginning of the Perek in Malachim Bet. The Gemara in Sukkah 45b considers Yotam to be one of a few individuals who were deemed righteous enough to save the world from judgment for sin. Even in Divrei Hayamim, there is no negative told to us about Yotam, as was not the case with his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. In Divrei Hayamim, Perek Chav Zayin, it says that he did what was pleasing in the eyes of Hashem and did not enter the Heichal of Hashem. Radak says he stayed away because he wanted to distance himself from his father's mistake and make sure he did not repeat it. Rambam classifies this as an important step in the tshuva process, distancing oneself from sin. Of course, that means Yotam sacrificed instead on Bamot, which was not great. But in the scheme of things, Yotam emerges looking like a tzaddik, especially compared with those around him at that time. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.